From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott.
It's an old favorite of ours, this song. He growled it out one night to us as the world was slipping out of focus for him. It's a song that starts out very quietly and very poetically and rapidly deteriorates. like St. Patrick's Day. We'd like you to join us in a jug of punch.
Tommy Makem and the Clancy Brothers brought traditional Irish music to the folk scene in the 1960s. It is now a beloved American tradition carried on by Makem's sons today.
Home away from home, and it's under the great Montana sky, where it's always easy to say hello, but it's so hard to say goodbye.
That's the song Home Away From Home from a live DVD recording of the same name by the Makem and Spain brothers. And Rory and Connor Makem grew up right here in Dover, New Hampshire, and continue to play in concert halls and pubs in the region and all over the world. We're going to get a little St. Patrick's Day teaser with Rory today. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks
I really appreciate
so much
it.
For being here. It's a special time to have a real Makem in the house.
Well, I guess. There's one in my house every day.
Your legacy, though, you're not just your father, but apparently your grandmother was.
My granny and her grandfather, they were all traditional singers. They didn't realize it, but at the time, you know, you had to entertain yourself. And my granny became known as a source singer, which was just basically a song collector, uh-huh. although she didn't realize she was doing it. And when first Diane Hamilton went to Ireland to collect songs, everybody said, you need to go to Armagh. That's where Sarah Makem is, and she has all the songs. And so she did, and she collected songs from her. And the Guggenheims, Diane Hamilton was a Guggenheim, and Jean Ritchie found out about it. And she went up to Armagh, and then Alan Lomax and Pete Seeger and all these very stout, studious, fairly collegiate people would show up at my granny's house, and she'd have 30 college students sitting on the floor making them all tea, but trying to sing songs at the same time. But she sang every time she, every minute of the waking day, she was singing a song. So my father said it runs in the family like a wooden leg.
Well, I wonder about that. I mean, you must have heard it all around when you were growing up. Did anyone ever discourage you from becoming a musician? It's a
my
hard
mother,
life.
My mother wanted a carpenter or a mechanic or an electrician. And she didn't want a folk singer, but it's what she got.
They're all quite practical.
They are, yeah.
Well, there's a track on Home Away From Home. It's a live DVD, you
right.
and the Spain brothers. Just wonderfully entertaining. There are just stories galore. You tell a little story about Granny. Is that this grandmother?
That would be
grandmother?
Sarah Makem, yes. Mm-hmm. She was born in 1900, and she grew up and lived her whole life in the Republic of South Armagh, a little town called Katy, which was a fairly Catholic enclave for the north of Ireland at the time. And she lived through the Civil War, and she herself was in her 70s, in the 70s, which was the height of what we call the Troubles in the north of Ireland. Mm-hmm. And behind her house was a big field where Donnelly's Rock was, and the British helicopters always landed there. I remember she had an outhouse, and you'd hear the helicopters landing right behind you. They would bring the laundry in and out of the army barracks. And every day there were countless patrols of British soldiers that would just walk through the town and apparently keep the peace, but I'm not sure that's what they were doing. But all the soldiers were 17 and 18 years old. It was their first tour of duty, would be the north of Ireland. And my granny was at Bridgie's at the end of her street. It was once called Lear Street, after Lew of the Longhand, and the British government saw fit to change it to Victoria Street. But Bridgie's was at the top of it, and Granny was coming out of Bridgie's with an armload of groceries, and a British soldier held the door for her, and she said, "Thank you, son. I hope the good Lord will save you a cool spot in hell." In public radio, I can say that. Can I?
You just did.
I did, right.
Well, let's hear another song from Home Away From Home, recorded live by the Makem and Spain Brothers in Butte, Montana, of all places. This is an ancient song about the Troubles, Outlawed Reparee.
Ah, yes, yeah.
Let's have it.
Lift your glasses, friends, with mine, and give your hand to me. I'm England's foe, I'm Ireland's friend, I'm an outlaw rapparee. Hunted from out our father's home, pursued by steel and shot, at
bloody warfare we must wage, or the gibbet be our lot. Hurrah, this war is welcome work, the hunted outlaw knows.
Another song about an Irish guerrilla fighter, I guess. Who were the outlaws' rapparee?
Well, rapparees were, they were prestigious people at one time, and They rebelled against the British rule and home rule, and it's been going on for hundreds of years. Mm. So I would assume there's still rapparees today, but they're not doing the same thing. They were Robin Hoods of their time. And the particular rapparees we were talking about would have been from the 1798 area, so mm-hmm. the great Protestant rebellion, led by Protestants, but the entire country rebelled against British rule, so...
Always with the troubles, right?
Always with the troubles, yeah.
But, you know, I hear the songs like this, and you are also song collectors. You're playing these songs that Sarah played many years ago.
By osmosis, I think.
I guess so. But does it ever feel for you like, is there any tension between, you know, the respect due to these songs and a part of you that wants to, you know, what if you said, I want to put out a hip-hop record or something like that?
Well, it wouldn't sell too many records, but no, we feel... a responsibility to it. It's a part of our tradition that has been swept under the rug of the last few years. It's a very strong part of who we are as a culture, the vocal tradition and self-entertainment. For hundreds of years, people would work so hard all day, and at the end of the workday, and during the summer hours, it's light in Ireland until 11 o'clock at night, and they'd all meet at a crossroads or down at the pub or in somebody's kitchen, and they'd sing songs and tell stories and play tunes, and somebody would give a dance or maybe a recitation and entertain themselves. And we feel strongly that we need to preserve this and hopefully do it with some entertainment value. Mm-hmm. But
obviously you write some songs too. I mean, you're talking about being under the Montana sky.
Sure. Well, it's the folk vernacular, and it's hard to write a song in the folk idiom and have it sound old, and it's what we strive to do, and have it conversational and in the vernacular, and we sometimes pull it off, and most times we don't pull it off, but nobody hears those ones. So.
Well, you know, you are part of Irish royalty in this country, really, in many ways. Well, I would say your father, he's sort of the eminence grise of Irish music.
Sure, that's where the royalty ended.
Do you think? I mean, you were called upon to record music for a documentary about the Kennedys called The Kennedys, America's Emerald Kings, another family of American royalty produced a few years ago. How did you approach that?
Well, that came about from an old friend of my father's, strangely enough, a man called Bob Klein. And in the 50s, he used to produce a television show called Hootenanny. And it was on ABC, I think. But he would go around to college campuses and... he had live acts, and they broadcast it on live TV. And he then became a speechwriter for Robert Kennedy, and he was also his public relations liaison. And he's been very involved in the Kennedy family for years. And he put together a documentary on the family 7 or 8 years ago, and he called us to record some old songs. The Kennedys were big Irish. They were from Wexford, and... John F. Kennedy's favorite song was an old song called Johnny, I Hardly Knew You, which Americans, I think Sousa put it into When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again. And we did that song for him, and we did We Want No Irish Here and No Irish Need Apply. The Irish were looked down upon when mm-hmm. we first came to this country. Mm-hmm. And when Fitz put his family into prominence and they beat back the Boston Brahmins, they... set a course in motion for pride in Irish culture and history, and people were proud to be Irish in America. Mm. And that was the first time. And the next time was when my father and the Clancys did Ed Sullivan for the first time. And the Irish pride swelled. And it's amazing these days how many people in America claim Irish descent. Even though they're separated by 3 or 4 generations, we're all still very proud to be Irish.
I wonder if you hear that all the time.
I hear it.
I can
everywhere
imagine
I go.
Concerts, you know, which county. We're speaking with Rory Makeham. He is one of the sons of Tommy Makeham and very much a musician in his own right, carrying on the song collector tradition. He and the Macon brothers and the Spain brothers made a DVD together recently, and we'd like to hear some more music for that. There are, of course, the reels and the rousing songs, but also the ballads, the love songs. Here is When Annie Took Me Home. This is just a snip of it from the Macon and Spain brothers.
Love can grow, love can go. Did she love me? I don't know. Though she'd often told me so, I've never really known. Was I blind? I don't mind. I think life's been more than kind. Thanks to life, there was the time when Annie took me home. Thanks to life, there was the time when Annie took me home.
When Annie Took Me Home from the Macon and Spain brothers. So much bittersweetness, so much sadness.
Sad love songs and happy war songs.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, my grandfather, I guess, used to tell my mom her bladder was too close to her eye. What is it that the Irish love to wade into the sadness?
The Irish have always had a way with words. Oh. I think about some of the greatest writers from world literature, and so many Irish names pop up over hundreds of years, so... Always had a way with words.
Great. You know, that what you said earlier, it's just sort of relaxing at the end of the day, telling stories with songs.
It's a lost art. Yeah. The narrative is gone from songwriting these days. And conversation. Why do you walk into a bar these days and you can't even hear yourself think? People can no longer talk to each other. It's a shame.
Where are you going to be playing this Sunday? I'm probably at a bar or a concert hall somewhere on St. Patrick's Day.
Saturday, we're in Long Beach at the Carpenter Center at California State University. And then Sunday on St. Patrick's Day, we'll be at Yoshi's.
Oh,
in
Oakland.
Oakland, yes. Uh-huh. It's in a jazz club. Uh-huh. But very famous jazz club. So I've learned two new chords to play.
You're going to be improvising?
I hope to impress somebody.
Well, what are the meanings of these songs today? I mean, you know, obviously when you're singing about Annie, who, thanks to life, you got to sit with her for a little while longer. I mean, there is a kind of sentiment. There is a kind of nostalgia. Why do they matter now?
I don't know. I think human interaction is always very important, and sentimentality, although you'd be hard-pressed to find an Irishman who would hug another Irishman, but... We do...
Not at the parade in Boston, anyway.
No, we... I remember hugging my father for the first time as an adult when his brother died.
No kidding.
Yeah. We're very... we do appreciate it, but we've never been very touchy-feely as a culture. Mm-hmm. The men. But it's changing. I hug my daughter every day.
Beautiful. Do you have, does she have any aspiration to sing? Does she like these songs, or is she like, you know, give me Rihanna?
Oh, I'm not exactly sure what it is she listens to, but I try to sneak in some good music here and there. My wife doesn't, she just appreciates her listening to anything, so I'll try to push it on her the way my father pushed it on us. Just have it in the house. I remember when I was a teenager, I had broken into his record collection, and I was listening to some old Weavers records and Woody Guthrie and, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, and he talked to a friend of his from New York from 40 years earlier, and a week later I had a box of records showed up at my house of Muddy Waters and Mississippi John Hurt and all these great old records, and that's how I got into folk music when I was 12 or 13. So it was very important that it was there in the house.
That's beautiful. We're going to leave listeners with the Wild Colonial Boy while we thank you. Thank you so much, Roy Macon, for coming by.
Thank you for having me, Virginia. I really appreciate coming in today.
A great pleasure. You can find the links to more on the music of Roy Macon and Spain, including the DVD of that live performance at the Motherlode Theater in Butte, Montana, called Home Away From Home, and more on where to find him this busy St. Patrick's Day season at wordofmouthradio.org.
He was born and raised in Ireland, in a place called Castlemaine. He was his father's only son, his mother's pride and joy.
At the early age of 16 years, he left his native home. And to Australia's sunny shore, he was inclined to roam. When he robbed the rich and he helped the poor, and he shot James McAvoy.
A terror to Australia was the white colonial boy. One morning on the prairie, as Jack rode along, listening to Mockingbird humming the mournful song, a band of troopers, Harry Dean and Detroit.